that there is a brewing panic in this world. The planet is suffering with 10 million cases of coronavirus, and 500,000 people have died out of that.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another Focus podcast. This is yours truly, Singing Lisa, your host, and I'm happy to be back with you because we have a very special presentation for you today to share more information. And Dr. Shiva Akula is with us once again, who is an infectious disease specialist. And he, of course, is over the Akula Cannon Hospice Foundation. And of course, we want to welcome him back again because we know that we are in the midst still of the pandemic that has changed our entire world. And of course, all focuses are on what it takes to get someone well and to save lives, and of course, to ultimately come up with that vaccine that everybody's waiting for. So Dr. Akula, welcome. You recently were a part of a Zoom meeting because there is an international growing crisis, which you addressed because this is a concern that the virus is still very active.
Lisa, I think I'm very, very, very sad to say today when I read 10 million coronavirus cases in the world, and it is growing. That is not stopped yet. That is a very serious concern to the whole world. And 500,000 people have died out of that, which is very sad. And I'm hoping that at least we would get somewhere close to it for a resolution, for a stop, to end of it. And I think we will. There's been a tremendous, a very great feeling when we had this meeting of minds from all over the world. There were many from the United States, you know, many from India, including cities like Delhi and Hyderabad. There was one from Middle East, Qatar, and other places. They all were concerned about the growing numbers and what needs to be done. What do they need? What is their status? This is, like I said before, this is my only, I hope this is the only pandemic that I would live through it.
Yes.
And to see that this monster is growing day by day, 10 million and half a million of them being dead, is of a very serious concern, and it needed everybody's attention. So I think, you know, we did extensive talk, shared the views, and perhaps gave some ideas. And it was actually started out with sharing what has been the up-to-date information on the treatment side, because everybody wants to know what's out there. And they were very glad that at least there is one medicine called Remdesivir that has been approved by the FDA. And this is also a medicine that's going to be available throughout the world, hopefully. And from what I gather was that they are importing in India from Bangladesh, which is a very small country close to India. So that there is this medicine available. But the only positive part of this Remdesivir is it is known to reduce the duration of infection and would not have a significant impact on the mortality, which is the death rate. But on other count, there's been a great result, positive result from England, Oxford, where they found in a study, a research trials that are happening all over the world. This research trial involved using dexamethasone, which was used, which has already been used several times, but initially in this coronavirus infection, there was a concern that dexamethasone would stop the inflammation and might provoke this infection in a most wildly. So they did not use it. But in this research study, that they have used a 6 milligram dexamethasone per day I believe for 10 days. We don't have the full results of it, but there is a preliminary result of a benefit. This is perhaps the only research study that has cut the death rate by a third.
Wow.
Among the most sick people. That's good.
That's very good.
So we are reducing the death rate.
Yes.
At the same time, we're going to have to find a way to live with this virus.
It seems like that. It really does. I know that people want it to be gone, and please
yes.
give us this vaccine.
The more they want to get rid of it, the more it's going to...
Yeah, it's like, well, what is the answer? And I think that's been the trick, the challenge, really, finding the balance on how to go back into life and still realize that this virus is very much alive. And I think that's been a part of the confusion. The uptick is coming from maybe people who are thinking, well, everything's done. It's over. You know, we're not having the problems like we did because they've gotten medicine that works. But that's actually partly true, because people in the hospital are being taken care of, but now the people that are outside, I guess we call them the carriers, because we have people that don't show any signs of any types of symptoms, and they could actually be carrying the virus and spreading it.
Absolutely, absolutely. So essentially, I think, you know, the concern that was there, in fact, seemed like a growing panic. And it is brewing very silently. And I was very upset when I heard my own relationship back in India saying, are we going to see each other again? Mm-hmm. And some of them discussed about maybe we should have wills. Of course, you want to have wills, you go ahead with it. But it is sad that I think, you know, coronavirus is the way to get us to write our own wills.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially, I think the main concern that we had was in trying to understand when I was in the medical school about the disease triangle, which is the agent of death and destruction, which is coronavirus. And you have the environment, you know, all of it. And then you have the host, that is the patient or the human being. So the host is... one that is so emotionally distraught, panic, and we don't want this pandemic to end in pandemonium.
Yes.
So we want a balance of mind of this host, the human being, so that way they deal with this situation more rationally. And that's the reason why there's been a lot of consensus among that group that we talked, that we got to have a way to perhaps a follow-up conference where we talk about the body-mind balance to deal with this crisis.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. It has been obviously seen the mental impact that this virus has had because of the rapid loss of life, and at such a rate and such an amount, like you've already said, you know, we have millions that have been affected and so many that have died. It's overwhelming. And how do you handle it if you think you're next? What do you think? And so I think it's really great that you all had a time to come together to come with answers and solutions that will help people, like you said, to live at the time where a solution is still being sought after.
So we are actually going to meet again on Zoom next Sunday at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And in India, it's 8 p.m.
Oh, okay.
So we still had people from last time. There were, more than 30 people that I know attended on a Zoom meeting. So essentially, so we are going to have this body-mind balance conference where we have ideas and thoughts and ways to deal with that. And perhaps we have a person named Kate. She has a cyclical breathing as a breath as a key to balancing body and mind.
Mm.
That's the concept that we have.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're trying to explore further, so coming Sunday. But there are a lot of people that already have a lot of anxiety and mental problems. So we are trying to help them right here in the United States with a phone line, which we presented in multiple other times, but I would like to go ahead and...
Yes, and that number has been very helpful for many people, so we'll have that on the screen, but it is 504-418-0791. Again, 504 is the area code, 418-0791. And I think that's been very a great way to connect people, to get some help and to talk to people. And I think that's been very necessary and helpful. You've seen firsthand people not only in the hospital suffering, but the mental impact of your coworkers and those who are continuing to provide the care. And this is just ongoing. This is now a way of life. And it has to be challenging when children are involved, families involved. And, you know, there's so much. The entire world has been affected by their entire life being turned upside down, so to speak. And so mentally, you've got to have some stability to maintain the course.
So essentially, I think this number that was presented is a 24/7 service where people that are answering are psychologists and psychiatrists. So this would be something, you know, for at least in the United States. Mm-hmm. And hopefully we'll get some network with a lot of other people that are trying to do a very similar, health resources towards the mental health throughout the world.
Yes.
So the concern that, you know, that the people have had is what can we do at home? What medicines that there are? Mm-hmm. And what's happening in the community? So I think, you know, today I want to talk briefly about some of these questions that are being connected with the care at home and in the community. Essentially, I think, you know, coronavirus is a respiratory virus. So essentially, the lungs get infected, they have pneumonia, and people get sick and die. So it makes sense to cover that cough. And it is very interesting that the virus spreads not just by coughing, just by simply talking or sneezing. You know, an infected person can spread up to 6 feet. That is how this 6 feet apart thing came up. So it is very important. So in terms of the masks, and I want to kind of give a few ideas. Essentially, the prices of the masks have gone sky high. And people knew that N95 is the mask that protects against the coronavirus, so that those prices have gone up, like skyrocket. But Center for Disease Control recommends those N95 masks only for the healthcare providers, mm-hmm. not for anybody.
And why is that? Because that has been a discussion and a concern. We've seen many people with, now hundreds of different types of styles of masks now, but those that do acquire in the street than N95, they're more valuable and more useful in the hospital setting. And why is that? Because of the way they're made?
Essentially, I think, you know, they are made to fit. There are like small, medium, and large, and it has to be fit for the size. So you have to have a sizing mm-hmm. of this mask. And just imagine if everybody goes after this N95 masks, mm-hmm. they may not be available to the people that are actually really caring for the COVID-19 patients.
Yes.
So that is the reason why it has been strictly mandated not to use for anybody other than healthcare workers. And even among the masks, that there is a medical, like a surgical, non-surgical mask, which is a disposable one. Mm-hmm. Even the medical grade masks, which, you know, they're not cheap, but they're a lot cheaper than N95 masks. Mm-hmm. Even they are recommended not for non-medical people.
Because we definitely need the people who are on the real front line, you know, facing the virus, actually to be protected so that they can continue to provide care. Yes. So we've seen a definite increase. Hey, that's the way our world is, right? Let's take advantage and provide everybody with a mask and charge a price. But so here's the economy getting back in the swing of things because we're helping everybody. We've seen all types of masks. Are those sufficient? We know we see lots of styles and patterns and colors.
Absolutely.
Is that what should be
the
focused?
Mask in industry has blooming.
It's bloomed. So where's the stock, right?
And while I was driving, you know, to the hospital, mm-hmm. I found Mask Up NOLA. That's a way to, you know, kind of advertise. And that is true because mm-hmm. it is said that I think there's a 40% reduction of the spread just by simply masking. So anybody can have a simple scarf or something to cover or any mask, because thing is, you got so many very pretty masks, and in fact, Cannon Hospice has a logo of Cannon Hospice
too.
Their masks. So, so we're coming up with all these ideas,
yes.
And I'm telling you, they are coming with this. There's an advertisement that I saw for a homemade masks from
yes.
India, which is so colorful and very artistic.
Yes.
So I think, you know, this looks like there's a mask industry is really.
So that gives a new definition to masquerade. So I think it's, and you know, I think that would help mentally because, as you said, the concern about the crisis and the panic, you know, with the attention drawn to the mask, really knowing that it is helping because it's creating that barrier to keep the virus away, that sort of plays into a positive light if people could actually take advantage and become a part of the mask population.
I am going to challenge the artist here in New Orleans, especially where the Mardi Gras world, you know, starts, that they have fantastic masks of Mardi Gras that I want them to come up with some mask which, you know, will spread our culture all over the world while protecting from coronavirus.
I think it's probably already underway. The creativity has been exploding, and I think it's really another testament to just the creativity of our country, the people that just are so determined to not quit, not give up. They are just taking advantage of every opportunity and becoming creative and using it to benefit everyone. So, you know, it's helping in more ways than just creating that barrier. Maybe financially, some people are discovering ways to work from home, which is a safe place.
So the medical mask, which is a non-surgical mask, is something that, you know, is recommended for one day, so they could take it off.
Okay.
And then replace with another one.
And is that more with the loop around the ear?
Yes,
is that
loop
more,
around
okay,
the
easy to put on.
Yes.
Okay.
And then also that you only touch at the loops, not on the front of the mask.
Oh.
You're not supposed to touch the front of the mask.
Okay.
And for a lot of people that are using different masks, cloth masks and other things, you know, we need to make sure that, you know, it is not meant for children less than two who cannot take it out.
Okay.
Or if people are lethargic and all this stuff, you know, you want to make sure that they don't choke, you know, from this mask.
Yes.
And the other important thing is this cloth mask and all other masks, they need to be washed. Because if you're preventing, you know, from inhaling the virus, that you cannot keep that, you know, forever.
Yes.
So you got to wash it and then use it. So,
so then you
something.
Should have a supply. You should have more than one, and you can get all the designs.
Yes, you can get all the designs. So it's a washable one is what you really need.
Okay.
Because you do want to, you know, kind of wash and all this stuff.
And does the regular detergent affect it, or just regular washing is fine?
In terms of washing, and I want to advise.
Okay.
Washing not only the mask, but also all our clothes, linen, and all this stuff should be the highest heat wave in the washer. In the washer, you know, you need to pick a very high hot water.
Yes.
Hot water wash. Okay. Because that is the one that is, you know, helpful in trying to kill the coronavirus. So it's very, very important.
Yeah.
And that needs to be done more frequently for people that you suspect may have coronavirus or who already have a coronavirus. So laundry washing is very, very important because it really kills the germ.
Helps to continue staying healthy.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And that's been another concern with people who are more, our elderly and people who are more susceptible because of other underlying conditions. They definitely should be protected and at all costs, making sure that they have the supply that they need. And you mentioned washing with the clothes and whatnot. Should that be done every time somebody goes out into the public and they come back home, just to be clear, or is that excessive?
Well, that might be too excessive. Okay. I think, you know, it's okay to just go and then wash the clothes, especially if somebody is infected, then obviously it makes sense to do wash, you know, every day.
Yes.
And if the mask is not possible, and if somebody is coughing, and I'm going to get to some of the symptoms and all the stuff, but I think, you know, we can just, if somebody's coughing, if you don't have a mask, just use a tissue, cough into it, and then just dispose it off, you know, wisely and all the stuff.
Yes.
So from this, and I want to segue into this this thing about the gels or the hand washing.
Okay.
I know the American economy is booming, and the time is related to money.
Yes.
We don't have a time to wash our hands for 20 seconds or more. Mm-hmm. Where the CDC recommends happy birthday to you. Mm-hmm. We don't have that much time.
Yes.
So we using gels. And there's been a tremendous amount of gels being made by the pharmacists, the breweries, and
the neighbor. Yes.
In fact, we presented Craig Sartin, the Sartin Pharmacy. They've actually indigenously made their own gel.
Yes, yes.
So I think, you know, all the gels, you know, need to have 60%, 60-70% or more alcohol in it. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it is not, you know, effective.
Yes.
So that is very, very important. And the other thing is that, you know, this alcohol, people misunderstand that maybe drinking alcohol, you know, high, you know, grade of alcohol content in, you know, any of these things, you know, it's actually has been fatal. And as I said earlier, methanol drinking, you know, in Iran especially had a large epidemic of deaths and blindness from methanol. So it is very, very important that alcohol is, you got to have a healthy respect with it. And especially during this COVID crisis, it would be probably better to avoid alcohol and smoking.
Yes, very well said and necessary for people to hear.
The reason why I want to say something about the smoking is, not that I want to pick against them, smokers, they are nice people, but it's just out of the habit that we have developed, the smokers. All I'm going to say is the Chinese that have, that's where the virus started, have looked at all the deaths that they've had. One of the very important thing that they saw among all those deaths was the smoking.
Wow.
So a lot of people that died were smokers. So if that tells something, and I think, you know, that may be a way to get rid of smoking.
Yes.
Now.
Yes.
And as it is, coronavirus is a disease that affects the lungs.
Of course.
So it makes sense to protect the lungs.
Absolutely.
So I would use this opportunity to stop drinking and smoking.
Yes.
For right now, for good.
To save your life.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Well, that is well said, of course. And I know everybody is, you know, anxious for answers and anxious for ways to find out how to do that. And we want to give that number once again, because mental health is on the rise. And, you know, many people need to learn about having self days and self care days, I think is a popular phrase right now. So that number once again is 504-418-0791, and we'll have that on the screen as for you as well. And so, Doctor, how have you seen the population in the hospital, that environment, that setting, change when it comes to mental health? I know many people were in a panic in the beginning, of course, with all of the unknowns. But as we are now in the sort of day-to-day operation of what you do know how to handle, how is the mental health level that you see?
Essentially, I think, you know, the anxiety and the panic, you know, level has come down quite a bit. Because initially, when, you know, going through the Kubler-Ross 5 steps of grieving process. I'm going to relate my own story of my life. Okay. When denial is the first step. And I was denying the fact that, you know, it happened way up in China. And then the next thing is there was a case in Seattle, Washington, a nursing home. Oh, it's going to take, you know, not going to happen here in New Orleans. Boom! Was I wrong?
Yes.
And I was denying totally that the next day there was a first case of coronavirus. In fact, as a matter of fact, I was at the doctor's lounge at Touro Hospital. My judgmental mind was singing, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when COVID patient comes to you? Okay. And it was saying it. And sure enough, the next day I saw on the TV, Touro was on the news that the first case of New Orleans coronavirus patient.
Yes.
In my hospital where I'm the infectious disease.
Oh my
doctor.
Goodness.
So that was the denial stage of me. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, anger. Was I angry? No, I was not. I thought for myself as, you know, as a balanced individual myself who believes in God, you know, God gives one opportunity. For a soldier, one time to go fight. It may be his last. But that's what God gives. And I felt that God has given me one chance to fight. You got a choice to fight with your health and all you got and your mind. Or you can go home and sit and give some excuse for why you're not coming to the hospital. Mm. I chose to comply. So I was never, you know, angry. But I was leaning towards the bargaining side where I had a grandbaby. She was born and the 3 months or 4 months of her growth before my son, who is in the military, going to San Antonio, I was hoping to catch some of that. Did you realize that when we wanted to give food, bring food to my own son and for the little grandbaby to for a visitation, we actually had to leave the food at the door.
Wow.
Because of the fear.
Sure.
And we wanted our granddaughter to be
safe.
Safe.
Absolutely.
And sound. And that's exactly what happened. So I was bargaining. Maybe this will hit later on while my grandbaby is still here. And that didn't happen. Mm-hmm. But of course, that's one of the stages of grieving process. Mm-hmm. Then of course is the depression. You know, I had my own share of depression. Mm-hmm. And so that's, and it's very, very important. I want to emphasize, if there's any suspicion somebody is depressed, it is a mental, I mean, it's a chemical imbalance in the mind that needs to be treated with medicines. There's no fooling around. You could do prayers, you could do yoga, you could do meditation. But if you are depressed, you gotta be on medications. That is a simple thing. And you don't need to go to a shrink. You can go to a primary care doctor. Mm-hmm. And because this will prevent complicated grief, possibly suicide.
Yes.
So it's very, very important. And the last stage of Kubler-Ross grieving process is acceptance. Mm. Right now, I think, I feel like, you know, we're accepting the fact that COVID-19 is here to live with us.
Yes.
So I guess, you know, I'm sleeping with the coronavirus.
Yes. And making sure that you stay on your side.